All right, so welcome back to Evil Thespian. We're back. I am here with one of my very best friends.
Oh my
He
God.
is a saint. He is a theater educator who also happens to be a performer and directs.
Bada bing, bada boom.
But a bit, Justin Klein,
Hello,
welcome
everyone.
to the show.
Hello. Thank
Oh my
you
gosh.
so much for having me. Wow, thunderous applause. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, I'll splice one in.
Okay.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I'm so happy you're here.
Well, thank you. Let me tell you, I have like years of me having pretend interviews in my bedroom has prepared me for this moment right
Oh my
here.
gosh, I'm so excited. Y years of me pretending to interview you and prepare
Okay.
me for this moment.
Awesome. Thank you,
I'm
Lacey.
so I
Thank
like, of course. Well, I think it's so important. I've wanted to introduce the listeners to you for the longest time because theater education is something that's so important to me. Like the microphone just like almost went into my mouth when I said that. It's theater education is so important to me. And I think it's just so important. And I just think about you and all of the educators that were in my life when I was in school and I was training. I think about everything I learned every day. And I was thinking before recording this, I'm like, this episode is literally going to be the perfect explanation for why I am the way I
Right, yeah, 'cause I want to challenge everyone right now. Like, close your eyes.
am. Yes.
Imagine like where you would be without an educator of some capacity in your life.
Exactly.
And I think that, you would be in a dark place if you didn't have at least
Yeah.
one like educator, whether it be a teacher or like a mentor who has like inspired you. So
I
they're
know.
so important.
Yeah. So let's just for the listeners, let's get into your background. Where were you born?
Okay, well, I was actually born, I'm a military child. So I was born in Western
That's right.
Germany. But I don't remember anything about it. I was a little baby, but I came to the States, grew up in North Carolina, have lived in small town Virginia since I was about 12 years old. And here we are still living in small town Virginia.
I
But that's
love that. Yes, and where did you go to undergrad, Justin?
Radford University, the one, the only in Radford,
The
Virginia.
one, the only, the magnificent,
Yes, go Highlanders.
the
Yes.
wickedly
No, I
talented.
graduated in 2015 with an acting like theater performance degree. I don't it says theater under the degree, but we learned a lot. We did.
God,
Yeah.
those were like the those years like just rewired my brain into the personality that I have today.
Yeah,
Like
it's like where we fell in love with ourselves, I think.
we went through so much.
Oh,
So much. Oh.
yeah. And thank God we had each other.
It's
Amen.
so true. It's so true. I mean, it was such a tight-knit group of people. And I was talking to Paul about this actually yesterday. We were saying, like, say what you want about Radford, but like our, department, we really, that was a place for people who did like feel like they didn't fit in, people who do come from a place of like, I don't really know what my place in the world is. And I don't know what to do about it. And like theater for so many people in that sense. I mean, look at us. I mean, I know you originally didn't start out as a theater major.
No, I wanted to do social work. So yeah, you mentioned like Radford was a place where kind of people who didn't really feel like they fit in anywhere. That
Yeah.
was me. Like I knew I loved theater, I loved performing. I didn't know much about it. Small town Virginia, we didn't really, know about plays or musicals or the differences. I was never really a diehard fan because I never really was introduced to it. So I think Radford for me was the perfect choice because that family aspect of it helped me fall in love with theater. I didn't know everything about it, but that's why I was there, right? I was there to learn. And then I found a family, amongst that, which is beautiful.
Yeah. Definitely. And I think also with that, we had incredible mentors and teachers that made such an impact on us. I mean, your relationship with, you know, our, I have like so many quotes where I was thinking about this the other day, when Jen was like, you know, somebody will see your light and like recognize
Yes.
that.
Oh, yeah.
I think about that every day.
Me too, you know, because, you know, I am, as, and I still do this, you know, I'm trying to fall in love with myself. I like have to fall in love with myself periodically, you know. The world can knock you down real quick. So I tell myself that a lot, like, Justin, like, don't forget your light, be the light, you know, find your light. Eventually someone will catch on. So yeah, they were just so wise. And we were very lucky to have them, I think.
I mean, throughout your whole career at Radford, what was probably one of your best, like, standout moments that you remember as kind of a theater practitioner?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. Like I said, I started off as a social work major, and I kind of delved into the theater a little bit. I didn't really feel like I belonged in social work. I knew I wanted to give back and help. I come from a family of, you know, helpers. My mom's a nurse. My dad, you know, is a caretaker. He does, you know, marketing and things and military and things. But, you know, we've always wanted to help people. So that's what I wanted to do, you know. So I was in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, as Edmund. And, I just, you know, vividly remember struggling with my belonging in social work, but also doing that show. And right before the youth show, you know, where we packed all those kids in the house, I looked up and I'm like, theater is what I want to do. You know, so I changed my major the next day. And it solidified what I wanted to do as a theater professional, but also, you know, I've always wanted to be an educator, you know, a teacher. Yes. Like I would play teacher in my house, and I just didn't know at that age, like in what capacity, but that's where education came in. So I'm just so, you know, lucky that I've got to merge the two throughout my career. So, but yeah, I would say just solidifying, you know, theater was the right answer, whatever capacity, you know?
Yeah. I really love that it was a children's show for you, you know? And I think that's how I first met you. We did a Velveteen Rabbit together. And just like some of the like special, most wholesome moments in both of those shows. And it just kind of, we got stronger from there, and I was able to see you develop as this emerging talent in school. That was such a privilege to me. I have like this moment that's like ingrained in my head of you as the MC in Cabaret.
Yeah.
That was like a huge, like I felt like in that show, that like there was no going back. Like from this moment on, we will always be actors, always be performers at our core. And I think that was also the first time I was so blown away by your voice, because you also sing.
Yes, I do. MC, that role, it was pivotal in just so many aspects of my life, like personally, you know, what I wanted to do with my career. You know, it was a, you know, if you're familiar with Cabaret, it's kind of a dark show where these people are fighting this literal battle, you know, this war.
Yeah.
But for me, you know, as the MC, I leaned into more of a personal war within myself, you know, fighting my, you know, my sexuality and, you know, that battle that everyone, you know, goes through in some aspect or regard. Am I worth it? Am I enough? And so that show for me, it just changed my life in so many different ways. And I'm very, very thankful for the opportunity.
Yeah, I like that you made the point where, you know, that show was so pivotal because we had to be very vulnerable in that show. Like we didn't have a lot of clothes on, like a lot of, for a lot of us, you know, I don't know. Was it your first time being on stage without a shirt on?
Oh, honey, I'm the gay that walks around the house with the towel around their chest because I don't want no one to see you. And also it makes for a lovely gown on the red carpet when you're there. But no, like I remember, having to fall in love with my body and how I looked too, which is another personal war that I was fighting at that time. So yeah, we were very vulnerable, and getting to that place mentally and even physically was definitely a challenge. And that's what, like, yes, we had that theater degree, but that's what the people don't see that we went through. Like, we almost got a degree in life. You know what I mean?
We got a degree in adversity, hardships,
Yeah.
difficulty, overcoming challenges, rising from the ashes,
Yeah.
defying the haters,
Right. And
truly, crying
oh,
both on and
lots of tears.
off. On and off the stage. But no, it was an amazing, I'm so grateful for our education. That's why I, want to use my platform to send an immense amount of kudos to all of the theater educators out
Right.
there.
Yeah,
They're doing
because
the Lord, you're doing the Lord's work.
amen. Because without them, Maddie, without that strong foundation of those theater educators, we wouldn't have been presented with that opportunity, to learn, to grow within ourselves, but within the art. If we had, teachers that were just like, oh, do what you want, or it's great, there's no constructive feedback, like we wouldn't have had the same experience without those educators.
I mean, they were champions not only for our developments in our skill and our craft, but they were champions for our, us as people. I felt like for the first time in my life, I felt like, oh my gosh, like I actually can make something. I felt like I'm an artist,
Yeah.
but I want to talk about, so fast forward, we did Radford, and then what were like kind of like those first few years after graduation like?
Yeah, so very scary. You mentioned being vulnerable. Like, after college is scary, right? You have to audition, you have to put yourself out there, something that I'm not good with. But I founded this company. Can I say names of companies on here? I don't know.
It's totally up to you.
Okay. Yeah. No, I love them, and they helped shape me into the educator I am. Missoula Children's Theater, based in Missoula, Montana. For those of you unfamiliar with their mission, simply put, they're like the largest, fastest producing children's theater in the world, where they go town to town and audition kids from that town, and then they put on the show with them at the end of the week. So I found that company when I was, lost. And that's where I fell in love with the educational theater side of theater and the performing arts, because that company, their mission, was just extraordinary and is extraordinary. I mean, they're still going strong even through the pandemic. So yeah, I fell into children's theater, but education, which was really, really fundamental to me.
And how long did you do that for?
I did that, let's see, 2015 to 2019. So basically traveling nonstop, about four years with, some off time, but I work with them years.
I know touring takes a huge toll on your body. Like, I can't believe you did it for as long as you did.
Yeah, I mean, it presented me with another challenge. It's it gave me an opportunity to fly. Like, that was the first time I've ever been on a plane. I was 22 when I got the job, and I was flying out of Roanoke, Virginia to Missoula, Montana. I flew to Atlanta first, and then I had a connection to Seattle, Washington. Like, it was challenging because I'm a small town gal, So from the get-go, it was just very challenging, in all regards, but honestly, the most rewarding experience of my life.
Can you give like kind of a breakdown of what the like essential like duties of the job was on tour? Like what you had to do once you got to the schools?
Right. Yeah. So we would drive typically on a Sunday to a different town. And then we would meet our contact on Sunday. And they would kind of walk us through the school or the performing arts center where we would be. It just really depended on, you know, on where we were that week. And then they would give us a lowdown. And then on Monday, we would have auditions for the kids in the town. And then we'd get right into rehearsal once we cast. The auditions went so, I mean, they had it down to a science to where you can cast the show in an hour and then start rehearsal in the next hour. And then we would teach the show. It's you and one other person. You would teach the show up until Friday or Saturday, depending on when they wanted the show, that town. And then you would perform the show. And then afterward, you would pack everything up and then get in the truck and you would head off to the next town. So it's nonstop. Of course you have to wash costumes, you have to set up the set, you do workshops within the schools and the community throughout the week. You are traveling, you are just balancing everything at once. So like I said, it had its challenges, but it definitely rewarding.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, what a way to sort of kick off your theater education career. Right. I mean, it really was kind of the perfect start to your journey.
It was because, you know, I got to perform and I had, you know, some hands-on learning with teaching because I, you know, I don't have a teaching degree, you know, I have my teaching license now, but at that time, 22 years old, I, you know, I was learning how to teach or, you know, at least manage, you know, a group of kids while teaching them theater, which inevitably, you know, ended up me learning how to teach, you know? So, yeah, that was like the next stepping stone in my life. And I'm just so thankful for that opportunity.
Wow. So once you kind of, you know, finished out the touring, you know, portion of your life, what kind of was the next step towards, you know, finding some place to kind of, you know, settle, like get your roots down somewhere? Because you're bopping all over the country and having these amazing experiences. But I mean, that's so taxing on the body and the mind. And what were those sort of next steps towards being an educator?
I, you know, within the 3 years, like I loved that job. I've met some of the best people. I didn't want it to end, but I just knew that it wasn't sustainable. I mean, there are people that have been doing it for a while. But you know, it just wasn't my thing anymore. And I think that's okay, you know. But I, in my third year, I started looking online for teaching applications and teaching jobs and, which was great because I was in those towns and I was getting to meet the teachers and get advice from them. And they just told me to go online and just start applying. And I applied for about a year before I even got one interview. And that's, you know, where I am now. So it was a lot of like, okay, rehearsals are over. Now I'm going to go home and spend at least an hour on my resume, look for jobs, apply. So it was like, you know, I was balancing the two at the same time.
And what, I mean, how many interviews did you do before you booked your first?
It's crazy because I've only done one interview and I got the job.
Excuse me.
Sorry.
No, it's just
good. You know, you had your challenge, you know, but
no, that's for a different episode. Yeah. Also, I'm an actress. I audition for every day.
Absolutely. Yes. You know the life, you know the gig. But yeah, I just got one interview and it almost didn't happen. And it was a whirlwind, but I basically was in a town in Kentucky. And I applied, I got the interview. But I asked them, you know, this is way before the pandemic. I said, do you do Skype interviews? And they were like, no, we don't do Skype interviews, but let me check, to see if we can come in on Sunday. Cause that Sunday was the only time it was going to work. I was in Kentucky. I was kind of close to home. Like if my parents could come and get me, if I flew into an airport, maybe they can take, like, it was in the span of 24 hours. It was crazy. So I remember I had auditions in Kentucky. I can't remember what town because it was just a whirlwind, but they called me. They said, we can come here on Sunday, but only at like 1 o'clock. And I was like, I'll make it work because I really wanted it. I knew it was my time. So I called up my parents. I had a wonderful tour partner at the time, Bridget, and she was just so
Shout
sweet.
out to Bridget.
Yes, Bridget, and she will be listening, I'm sure.
Yes. Love
She,
you, girl.
yes. She said, because I went to her, I said, hey, you know, if we drive halfway to the next town, because it was down in Alabama, I'll get you a hotel room. I'm going to go with my dad. He was going to pick me up. He's going to drive me to my interview, you know, and I'll meet you in Atlanta if you come get me. Like, it was a puzzle to be put together, girl. And she was just on board with it all. And so my dad came to get me in Knoxville, Tennessee. We met halfway. The next day we drove down to the location where I am now. And I had the interview. It went really well. And then after the interview, we drove down to Charlotte. I caught a plane to Atlanta. Bridget met me in Atlanta. Then she drove us back to Alabama. And then we had auditions that next morning. So, I mean,
Wow.
it was crazy. And so I,
Another club,
okay,
like back to back.
Yeah. And so I used to wait tables at Cracker Barrel. I love Cracker Barrel.
Shout out.
Right. And then at the end of that, we were having lunch at Cracker Barrel and I got the call that I got the job. So, I mean, it was a full circle whirlwind moment. But
I
it was,
love that.
yeah. So I got the job as a teacher.
So, this is high school, correct?
Yes.
Wow. So what are the kids like today?
You know,
Like, I mean, I they're I mean, I assume like every teacher's experience is different, but I guess for you in your journey at this current job, how has, your relationship to like that communication like a approach been?
right. Well, I'll tell you right now, the kids just need, like you said, a relationship. I mean, they need someone to look up to. I mean, now in the media and all over Facebook and TikTok, I mean, teachers have a bad rep. You know, there are people out there who stage fake classrooms to make us look bad, right? There are people out there who just kind of, you know, take the narrative and kind of toy with it a little bit. But you know, you mentioned the kids. I mean, the kids are great, but the key is to let them know that you care, right? I mean, it's the key to,
Yeah, consistently.
right? Because I mean, the kids, you know, and I'm in a poor area, Title I school, so the kids don't get that at home, right? They don't get love and, you know, nurture at home. So the kids, you know, however you treat them as a teacher, they'll give it back to you. You know, so my kids are great. They, you know, they have their challenges and we work through them. I learn from them, they learn from me. But at the end of the day, you know, the kids are great. It's just how you interact with them, you know?
And I mean, kids can always pick up on things. Like, kids know when they're, being disrespected, or if, I always knew growing up if I had a teacher that like just didn't care about, like, you could tell, like, they're just at their job. Like, they don't really want to be here talking to me. But I mean, I know your kids like know like what you're all about and that you're there because you actually are passionate about teaching.
Yeah, and you know, and it took me a while to get there. I will be honest. My first year,
You're on your feet all day,
right. And my first year, the advice I was getting was, I shouldn't have listened to it, but they were like, "You go in there, you be mean." That was the advice I was getting. You go in there, you be mean.
Oh
And
my
by nature,
God.
like I'm not a mean person, you know. So that's what I did. And the kids did not react to that. And my first year was very, very challenging. But the second year I went in, I was like, I'm just going to be myself. I'm just, you know, I'm going to be myself. And I was. And ever since then, I mean, the kids have been much better. I've enjoyed my teaching job much better. I've gotten more out of it. So that, you know, if you're, you know, an educator or you're in education or getting your license to be an educator, you know, my advice is to be yourself. because that is, you can't just go in there and be mean.
No.
That makes sense, right? So just be yourself and be genuine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think now that you say that, I'm thinking about, it's so right. Like, teachers get such a bad rap. And I think, unfortunately, on social media and stuff, you only see the videos of teachers going like, I can't believe these kids, I hate my job, or the education system, la, 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 la. Like, you never see, you only see the negative things on social media and in the media in general. Like, very rarely do you see like those very special standouts moments of teachers like expressing how much, you know, because it is hard to be a teacher, you know.
And of course, this job, I mean, it is the most challenging job I have ever had. And there are days where my mental like clarity is at zero. My empathy tank is at zero. But I signed up for it. I wanted to do it. And, you know, there are people out there that say, well, if you don't like it, quit. Well, it shouldn't be that way, right? You know, I want to make a difference. Sometimes we need help to do that, right? I think teachers, we are just kind of seeing like a snapshot of, you know, the bad. But for example, you know, I just got home right before I logged on with you. You know, our band, we have won 11 state championships in a row. And, you know, that room was packed full of people who support them and love them and see their talent. And, you know, those kids see that. And we have kids on the opposite side who just misbehave all day. Mm-hmm. But the key is compassion, right? Mm-hmm. Why are you, you know, behaving this way? Because more than likely, Maddie, their home life at home, they're not getting something. Putting all that into perspective, like, I have learned so much as just being human by being a teacher, you know?
Yeah. I mean, earlier you said like, they've taught you so much. What kind of things have they taught you?
Patience.
Patience.
You know,
there you go.
You're right. You know, not only like patience with them, but also patience with myself. They have taught me that, I once was in their shoes. You know, I remember what it was like being in high school. And some days were harder than others. So it taught me, you know, to realize that people are facing their own battle. And we just never know really what that is. They've also taught me that sometimes all you just have to do is smile. And, every day they're definitely, you know, the reason why I go to work. I just enjoy it. I enjoy it a lot.
Are there any kind of standout moments that you really treasure in your career so far, just either with the kids or putting on shows or directing?
Well, you know, definitely seeing the kids at the end of the show. You did high school theater as well. So, you know, like at the end, it is just one, a relief because you're done.
Yes.
But it's also like, that realization that we did it, you know, that we did it. And my kids, you know, we really haven't had a theater program. So everything that we do is quite new. So seeing those small successes, like, oh, you know, I got on stage and I sung in front of, you know, the crowd, or, oh, I didn't get on stage and, you know, mess up. Right. So seeing those small successes, but also as a theater teacher, I get to interact, you know, on occasion with kids who, you know, are kind of like put in the class, you know what I'm saying? And seeing them kind of fall in love with theater is quite nice too. Because, you know, for example, they'll come in and be like, oh no, theater, like, I didn't want to be here, you know, nothing else. So,
I just want to sit down.
But at the end, you know, they say, you know, thank you so much. You know, theater is still not my thing, but I've learned something from it, you know?
Oh, that's so precious. I love that. Because it's true. I mean, there's always a good takeaway. I mean, it's not for everyone, but I mean, I know so many people who you know, I did theater with as a kid, and at the time, like, it was like a huge impact at, you know, their time and their life, as it was mine. And so, like, I feel like, yeah, that's what it's there for. And as far as if I can remember, when you joined the school, like you said, they had never had a theater program before. How did you, were like, did you take on the responsibility of like actually creating a new program at this school?
Yeah. So what they had, like, of course, you know, they had like the choir teacher teach a drama class, or like the English teacher would step over and teach, you know, some plays. And then we had a drama teacher and they did a musical, and then he left, and then they had another drama teacher, they did a musical, and then he left. And then that's where I come in. So the program was there, but it was very minuscule. They kind of knew that there was a drama class. But like the structure and the process of drama theater wasn't there. So that's really what I've been doing since I started. And we had traction, and then of course, you know, things happened, you know, in 2020. And so now, you know, we're seeing in schools that, you know, some education delays are starting to, you know, come into fruition from, you know, that lack of learning. So, you know, we are established, but we're still like doing the building, you know, like we have the bricks, we have the cement, now we're like putting them on. You know, I'm not a mason, I don't know what the terminology is.
I mean, the pandemic, it was all a blur, like but if how did you do it when the pandemic happened? How did your world completely change?
I mean, it was a challenge, you know. Doing theater over Zoom, it was definitely challenging. And of course, that was my first year teaching. So I was still learning at that point. So I tried, you know, to go full force at it and try to make it happen, but I realized it just was not working. So then in that moment, I just said, you know what, these kids don't need to be, you know, need me to be teaching Shakespeare right now. They need me to be checking in with them. Hey, how are you? How's your family?
How are thee?
Right. How are thee? they needed at that moment like compassion.
Yes, 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 they did.
Yes, thy diddeth.
Yes. No, it's true though. I mean, seriously.
Yeah. So, like,
I'm imagining. I mean, how many days did you log on and it was like all like black screen, or like what was it?
A majority, probably 90% of the time. But, you know, I want to say that with, you know, this preface is, you know, those kids were probably taking care of the siblings at that moment.
Exactly.
They were probably walking home from the grocery store because, you know, the mom's at work, but we need bread, right? That's what I want to stress with this, you know, opportunity. Yeah. That, yes, you know, when teachers say the kids didn't log on, but they were probably doing something else instead, right? They were probably taking care of, you know, their family. They probably didn't have internet, or, you know, something was happening. You know, yes, it was important for them to log on, but life is still happening, and life is very challenging right now. So, you know, it's like the highlights, right?
Yeah. I mean, I really hear you when you mentioned sort of like that delay, because I truly feel like kids were affected by the pandemic, at least in terms of like everybody's collective mental faculty is taking a hit. I truly feel like the worst thing you can do to a society is isolate them. And I feel like the worst thing you can do to a child is isolate them. And I mean, I can't imagine just sort of like the strength it took to sort of like take that on and really understand and like be there for your kids at that time.
Yeah. It was almost heartbreaking in a way, you know, when you would say, "How are you?"
Mm-hmm.
And they would just either be silent, you know, shake their head, or they would just bust out into tears.
Oh my gosh.
And like I said, like that was my first year teaching, and
mm-hmm.
I never had a doubt, you know, this is what I'm supposed to be doing,
mm-hmm.
using theater as a vehicle for, you know, education. And so it's just those moments as a teacher,
mm-hmm.
finding those kids have the breakthroughs, letting those kids know that we're here for them. You know, I'm here for you. I'm proud of you. You
mm-hmm.
should be proud of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Those are almost, to me, in my opinion, more important than, you know, my curriculum.
Yeah.
You know, there's
absolutely.
A word out there that I live by, and it's almost my mantra, is like, kids will forget what you teach them, but they will never forget how you made them feel.
Period.
And I, you know, I take that to work with me every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Because
it's
that's
true. Because I mean, there are a lot of things. All right, listen, I did retain a lot from theater school. Okay, I did, but it's only, I did. Okay, FFP. All right, forward facial posture. But I had such a great education, not just because of the curriculum. I wanted to be, you know, I showed up every single day because of how my mentors really made me feel. And I think there's like a very small nuance there that you mentioned when you say to them, like, you should be proud of yourself. You know,
yes.
I'm very proud of you, but, you know, you, once you kind of like, you know, grow into adults, you have to take a lot of, you know, responsibility for like being confident, having self-esteem. And, you know, it's very, it's a harsh world out there, but it's a lot of things that adults struggle with, like being proud of yourself, not needing others to tell you who you are, and being confident in, you know, who you are and being proud of that. Like, that's huge.
Right. Yeah. You know, I had a student tell me, you know, I'm just not being complimented enough. I'm just not, you know, being validated enough. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. First of all, you know, you're talented. You don't need anyone else's validation. Are you proud of your work? Yes. That is all that matters. Right. Of course, we like to be told that we're doing a good job, but we need to learn, you know, even me.
Yeah.
You know,
even me.
Right.
Sheesh.
Right. I know I'm doing a good job. Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, those kind of life lessons have really been my goal as a theater educator. Yes, of course, teach, you know, my curriculum and my, you know, my state standards, but also take the time to go up to every kid at the beginning of class and say, "Hey, how are you doing today? Do you need anything from me?" You know, and most of the time they'll say yes, but you know, sometimes I say, "No, I'm not okay. How can I help?" Right. That is equally as important as the curriculum.
It's so true. And so we know that, I mean, you spend a lot of time taking care of others. When you're at work, I mean, you have to pack a lunch. You have to do a lot of things to take care of yourself too. I love like texting you over the weekends and like checking in with you, because you always remind me to take a day for yourself and take naps and stuff. What does that self-care routine look like? Because I think, you know, there are these certain kind of like caretaking positions in society, you know, where we give so much of ourselves away to take care of our communities. We, you know, very commonly neglect our own self-care. So what does that look like for you?
Well, you know, I'm going to be brutally honest. Self-care is really hard for me. I love my naps. I do take a nap.
Yeah, you're really good at that. You're good at that.
I love a nap, but it's honestly because I am just so mentally and physically drained. I can't do anything else. You know, like even if I have to read, you know, not have to read, but want to read my book, I have to close my eyes for about 10 minutes before I can, you know, retain my what I'm reading. I just like scuffed my nose a little bit.
Oh, no, I couldn't. You couldn't hear.
Okay.
No one's gonna see.
Okay, good. I love it. I'm gonna be a meme. look at me like diverting from this question. Anyway,
right.
No, the self-care could be better. I mean, that's something I'm learning. You know, when I'm on the wagon, like I go to the gym in the morning, wake up at 4:30, because that's the only time you have to yourself.
It's true. I wake up at 5 a.m. every day because that is the only time I can walk around in my towel.
Right. You know, it's great when I'm on the wagon, but honestly, Maddie, you know, falling off the wagon happens. You know, I have peaks and valleys.
All the time, yeah.
And I, you know, of course I resort to, you know, to food, and, you know, food is my comfort. It is very stressful. I mean, I do 3 clubs. I'm a co-sponsor of, you know, the Beta Club at school. I do shows at the community theater here. I teach 3 classes. You know, I do a children's show in the spring. I do a musical in the spring. I do a fall play. Like, it's a lot. And so I'm learning almost to tell myself, like, it's okay if you know, fall off the wagon. I think as, you know, as society, we think that we always have to be on the wagon. Like, the wagon has to be going in a straight line. But this wagon is on a dirt road, honey. You know, we have bumps and road, you know, bumps in the road, and we, you know, sometimes have to turn left and turn right. And yes, we might fall off the wagon, but I got my seatbelt on. All right. So I'm going to, you know, hop back up on the wagon.
Exactly. And it's going to be a bumpy ride, but
it is a bumpy ride. but I think, you know, being honest with yourself is step one.
Absolutely. Self-care. Well, I love that we're on this topic because, I mean, this is a perfect time to recommend something that I've been using in my self-care routine. Are you familiar with matcha? Do you drink green tea?
Okay, girl. My favorite drink at the Starbucks is the matcha green tea.
Exactly. Okay. So I love that. So I'll send you, you know, I got that discount, but I've been drinking this, it's a matcha ashwagandha green tea. It kind of tastes like orange juice. Ooh. It's an adorable little matcha, shot drink. I put it over a little bit of ice and a little bit of water, and I have it with my coffee. And I don't know if you're like me, like I tend to get I'm very jumpy. I get very over caffeinated very easily.
Oh, truly, yes.
Yes. So I've been drinking this green tea drink called Magic Mind. Exactly. Okay. Magic Mind. The purpose of it is to give you this nice, clear, calming focus. So if you drink a lot of caffeine in the morning, super overstimulated, super stressed, you're exhausted, you're shaking, the world is spinning, kids are throwing things.
Yes.
The Magic Mind, it helps. That's the thing. It actually works. Like, it actually makes you feel nice and calm for a couple of like hours too. Like, it has like long lasting effects. And honestly, it's cute. And that also helps your mind. Okay.
The aesthetic. Yes.
But I'm, you know, sending a whole bunch of boxes to my friends and family for the holidays. But I mean, for your morning routine, when you're kind of like on the wagon and it's like, go, 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 it kind of brings a little bit of zen to you. So I'll tell you exactly where you can get it.
Okay,
you can get
my
it.
Next question.
Exactly. So you can get it at magicmind.com/evil tea. That's EVILT as in Tom, with the code EVILT20. You can get up to 50% off your first subscription and 20% off a one-time purchase. Personally, I recommend getting the 30-day subscription because it would just be the best value. So shout out to Magic Mind, Evil Thespian, Match Made in Heaven We love it. Amazing product. Just really helpful if you're looking for a drink that, you know, it's not just another like vitamin drink. Like it's a nice, healthy, a little boost, and it's a beautiful color. You know, put it in your little Starbies. Your little Starbies.
Come on, Boost. Capital B. Yes. All right.
But truly, so what, I mean, speaking of morning routines, what are you bringing to school with you? Like snacks? You are an amazing water bottle person. Thank you. I will say that you are, okay, is this a Stanley Cup?
It is. I wasn't sure if I could say the name, but since you said it, I'll say it.
Oh, no.
Yes. If this is a Stanley, I mean, if you're a teacher, you have one of these. Depends on your, you know, your state and how well they pay you. If you don't have a Stanley, then you have one, you know, one from Amazon, but it's still the same thing. But yes.
Yes. And Stanley, if you also want to sponsor Evil Thespian, would be a perfect partnership.
Video of the car, like the car caught on fire. Okay. The car caught on fire. And in the cup holder, the Stanley stood and it even still had ice in it, girl.
And what? It's indestructible.
It is. And so the CEO or CFO, I don't know that jargon, but he sent her a brand new car. So
excuse me. Okay.
It caught on fire and it still had ice in it.
Oh my gosh.
Well, the car didn't
have incredible.
Ice. Stanley Cup had ice in it.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know what we need to do? We have to get in touch with Stanley. And then we have to drink our magic mind in the Stanley Cup.
They need to do like a teacher, like teachers drink Stanley or Stanley for.
Oh
teachers.
My gosh. Okay. Yes. We're scheduling the marketing meeting tomorrow.
If you go to TikTok, every like water talk, especially every teacher. Like.
Oh, I have to get into that. Cause I don't know. I want to post on TikTok, but I'm like, what do I post? And like, I'm just still figuring all of this like podcast stuff out. So I'm just like, I have to get on the water TikTok because hydration is really important to me as a thespian, as you know, and you're always, always hydrated. Okay. So I've heard that like the only complaint people have about the Stanley Cup is that like the handle's weird. Is that true or no?
Oh, no.
Okay.
It just depends on how you position your leg. Okay, so let's get into it. So it depends on how you position. I'm having trouble getting it off currently, but it's okay. I got it. So
looks like, I mean, it's indestructible. So.
Yes. So the trick is, okay, so if you want the handle on, you know, the left side or the right side, depending on, you know, which hand you grab it with, the logo right here, you have to put the straw in like away from the logo. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then when you turn it, it is perfectly aligned with the center of the cup. That way you can grab the handle.
Genius.
And sit.
Oh, I love a good straw.
Girl. You know, straw and with music technique as well.
Ooh. I know exactly. What is it called? It's called humming. Sirening. Sirens. That's what it's called. Ooh. Yeah. I'm like, I don't identify as a singer, but as somebody who has a background in, you know, the, you know, musical theater arts, I mean, I'm such a stickler for technique and vocal placement. I think about it every day.
Right. Which you need as a teacher. Let me tell you, all that talking, theater gives you a foundation to anything you need in life. Okay.
It's true. So do you, so like I was saying, so you got the Stanley Cup, you're on your way to work. Do you have coffee in the Stanley Cup? Do you have?
Oh girl. Okay. So get into it. So I have my Stanley Cup water. Mm-hmm. And then I have three bags. Okay. I have like my work bag, and then I have my rehearsal clothes bag, and I have my book bag with my actual books in it. Right. So that's three bags, like in the crook of my elbow here. Then in this hand, I have my Stanley. In this hand, I have my Starbies, my coffee. So that
you're coming in with not one, but two big drinkity drinks.
Right. So I have my lanyard on with my keys, and then I have my like my side satchel that I got from Old Navy. It's not the Lululemon, you know, famous black one. Because I'm a teacher, you know. So I ain't got that money. So then I and so then I have to like try to get my key, and then I try to put the key in school. Like, I mean, the camera footage of me walking into the high school, it should be sold for
Oh,
an
oh
entertainment.
my gosh. Well, I mean, what's the worst? I'm sure is because I struggle with this when I'm taking the dog out and I got my drinks and my keys when it's cold outside and it's like snowy and wintry, and then I have to get my gloves out or like take off my glove and open the key. It's hell.
It's a lot. It's a lot. But you know, I definitely have my like my lunch, which that you know where self-care comes into play. I need to be better about packing a nice lunch. Which sometimes a Pop-Tart, if
I
I'm being
love Pop-Tarts. What did I eat? I ate so many Pop-Tarts in college. Like that was my go-to. And then a lot of Chick-fil-A.
Oh gosh, Chick-fil-A, and we have one here. And now they have like mobile like ordering like, and so
No.
they bring it out to you. Yeah, it was great.
Oh, so good. It's good for you.
It is.
It tastes like,
So.
it tastes, it's soulful. It's like they're just made with a little kindness and love.
Absolutely, in peanut oil.
I'm interested about, I mean, what are some of the shows that you're picking out? What do you think about when you pick out, like shows for your curriculum or specific plays that you're reading with your students?
Okay, this process stresses me out. And here's why. There are so many things that you have to think about, right? So you have to think about locale. Where are you in the world? Will your audience appreciate Rent, or will they, you know, take you to the school board because you're doing Rent, right? What the kids want to do. They, you know, of course we do a children's show in the spring and like a musical. So we have, you know, there's options. But if you're doing Pinkalicious and your students are like, I don't want to do Pinkalicious, you know, that's not what I want to do. I want to do Rent, whatever. So you have to think about,
Hairspray.
right, which is the demographics of the school equipped to do Hairspray. Because, you know, if you know the premise of Hairspray, right? So a lot of that goes into choosing a show. And you can't really edit because of, you know, contract and copyright and things. So, you know, for example, right now I'm thinking about doing Mean Girls. But even the high school edition, you know, there's some language that I feel, you know, a little nervous about. But
Yeah, because it's going to come back to you.
yeah, I mean, you know, someone is not going to like it. And it, you know, just takes a few calls and then, you know, we're in some hot water. So it is very
Yeah,
challenging. And if the
it's
kids,
common.
right, if the kids don't like it, they're not committed to it. They're not on board with it. So they're not going to care about it, you know?
Oh, that would stress me out so much, especially you're the only person like responsible for that decision, and then it comes back to you. I mean, the kids, they don't care. They're doing Mean Girls, right?
Yeah.
Have been a couple of shows that you've done in the past couple of years?
So we typically compete in the fall with one act, and I really enjoy doing like social issue plays. Like once we did a play called Gossip, that kind of talks about,
Oh, yeah, I remember this.
and which is crazy because the playwright is actually from this area, which I didn't know when I, you know, purchased the rights to do that show. But we did that, and then we also did a social issue play called Boxes, where you know the characters were just kind of struggling with people's expectations of them and how their box was getting full of these expectations, you know. And then we kind of try something new with comedy. We did a play called Podunked, where it highlighted Edgar Allan Poe but had like a comedic spin on it. And then we're doing Alice in Wonderland this year. We did Rainbow Fish last year. We brought all these elementary kids in. So I mean, each year we kind of add to the mission of the theater department, you know, providing a strong foundation for these kids, but also for the community. And so this is why, you know, Mean Girls, I know the script. So I'm hoping that the community latches on to it. You know what I mean? Because there is a valuable lesson to be taught from Mean Girls. Yes, it's entertaining.
It has a very wholesome message.
Right, we're right. So, you know, I just hope the community latches on to it. Which as a theater educator, that's something that they don't really teach you in school. You know, you have to be aware of every little thing.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, hearing stories about the education system, it's like a whole other, like, lesson you have to learn how to navigate that and all the personalities, and like essentially it's its own specific kind of work culture that no one really, you know, talks about a lot, I think.
Yeah, getting into it, you know, when I was applying, and this is important for me, I keep going back to that time where I would apply when it gets really hard, you know. When I was applying, I mean I had no idea how political, you know, education is, like, and that's something I don't deal well with. That's not really my gig, you know. I have my rose colored lenses on almost all the time. So, you know, I thought it was, you know, I go in, I have my classroom, my kids come in, they sit down, they say good morning, you know, but it's not at all like that.
Yeah.
So like I said, that first year was definitely a learning curve. Because I had to
political
adapt.
As in like kind of the organization structure, or the political as in like the community, like zoning and stuff, or just all of it.
All of it. I mean, because you know, you vote for the person you want to represent you, you know, your district on the school board, right? And so the school board's decisions, you know, decide, you know, what you can do, and you know, that's an elected position, and then you know how the school is structured. I mean, it's all so political. I had no idea. So I really had to adapt, which theater, you know, is 80% adaptability, right? So the theater has provided me that foundation to take a deep breath and say,
be resilience,
right? So my theater background has helped me with that aspect of theater education. So that's probably one of the most challenging things about it, is the, like, the structure of the process. Because, you know, all we want to do, or all I want to do, is go in and inspire some kids, but you have to jump through and check all the boxes, which makes
what
it hard.
I have a question. Is Mean Girls a musical? Okay. So does that mean you have to teach them, or do you have to choreograph the show?
Yeah. So, you know, what?
Five,
you know,
six, seven.
It's through MTI. And so it's Mean Girls High School Edition. So MTI does a great job at making sure that we're successful on our end. And of course they have like full rights to shows, and then they have like high school editions, and then they have juniors. So it really just depends on what's best for you, but production companies will tailor it to your needs. So, of course, for money, right? So we purchase, purchase the choreography videos that would help us.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean,
I had no idea. They didn't have that back in my day.
And that's a whole nother thing that you have to learn as
creators,
you know, that contract and how to navigate that contract with the production company, which is a whole nother.
What are the shows, like what kind of new shows come out like every year? Like what's popular right now?
Right. So, I mean, they just released the rights to Six, the musical, for high school. I think they're talking about like releasing Beetlejuice, which is, you know, popular amongst the kids. The kids love that one. So really, you know, of course, you know, it's on Broadway, off Broadway. And then we have to, as a high school, we have to wait for the rights to be available for our use, which is usually after it's available for regional use. Right. So honestly, the options, you know, they're growing, but if you're in a community where, you know, all they want you to do is Disney, or, you know,
Mr. Klein, when are we doing Hamilton?
Right, I'm like, okay, well, the rights aren't available. Or like the one a lot is like The Greatest Showman. Like, when can we do The Greatest Showman?
Oh, see, I'm so out of the loop with what musicals the kids are getting into nowadays. Because when I was in high school, it was Wicked and Wicked. Honestly, I can't. It's the only one I remember.
Ride the Cyclone is very popular. The Heathers is very popular.
Yes, I know about Heathers.
Yeah, Legally Blonde, Mean Girls.
That's a good one.
The biggest one I would say now in my community, I'm not sure, you know, because we're in rural Virginia, is Six. I mean, the kids.
I see that on TikTok.
Yeah. And it's inspiring because Six is all about women empowerment. Rewriting history. Which cross curriculum, okay? So we can teach about the six ex-wives of Henry VIII, okay? That's his
yes.
Theater is everywhere, y'all, okay?
It's true. What kind of conversations are you having with the kids when you're talking about like some of the subject matter of the shows?
Yeah, so I mean, these kids, I get lucky. Like, these kids want to soak it up. So
that's so great, though. That's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, they love it. They're passionate. The first thing I open a discussion with is, what do you think the message is? Like, what's the message that, you know, the musical or the playwright or, you know, the music, you know, composer is trying to portray here? And then I ask the question, is this a message that our community needs to listen, you know, listen to? And then we, you know, we move forth. You know, sometimes it's no, sometimes it's yes. So it's definitely collaborative with the kids too. You know, it's not just me, you know, making all these grand decisions.
Yeah.
Right. The kids,
they actually like build it themselves. They're able to like look at something and be like, I made that, you know?
Yeah. And also, you know, this year we started a drama club, you know, the first drama club. And where the drama club will vote, you know, I'll take it to my students. Hey, we need to read these scripts. Which one do you want to present to the drama club? The drama club votes on the one. Like, it's a very like political, like I said, in a good way, process because of the kids.
It's a good experience for them, like collaboration, like running an organization and stuff like
right.
that.
Right. And two, they chose it, right? So it becomes theirs. It's not, you know, Mr. Klein going in there and be like, okay, we're going to be doing this and no questions asked, right? Because what I have to remember as an educator is that this is an educational institution. Like, I'm there to teach, right? I'm not there for my own ego. You know, I've had my time, you know, in educational theater and performing. Like, I'm okay. You know, I do some community theater, so I get that, like, my performance ego is fulfilled in that regard. But when I'm at school, it's okay, kids, what do you want to do? And how are we going to make it happen? Right.
Well, speaking of your performance ego, I mean, how you're a local star. I mean, let's talk about your most recent show that you did. If I recall correctly, SpongeBob.
It is Spongy. Yes. SpongeBob.
And you played who?
Sponge. Yes, I played SpongeBob. that was just such a bright, fun, wacky show, you know. And that
you sent me those videos of you singing. I was like, okay, first of all, forward what is it? FFP. Forward facial posture. Second of all, incredible voice, beautiful song. Very just so sweet and wholesome.
Right. And so, and
blown away.
Okay. Thank you. And I, you know, going back to that performance ego and Maddie, I think, you know, I love performing so much because without performance, you know, I'm me, and me is something I've been ridiculed for being, right. The theater, here we go again. Theater is a tool for me to feel comfortable and to feel powerful. And so, you know, singing on stage, I get praised, but if I'm meeting someone new, I get a weird look because, you know, I don't sound like your typical male, right? So that's why I love performance so much, because it gives me an armor, you know? And then, you know, we did Matilda, you know, here at our college, we have a great, great community theater where I did SpongeBob.
Oh my gosh, Matilda.
That's
Wait,
Matilda.
can I put photos in the post?
Yeah, yes, I
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. That was such a good costume.
Yeah. You can look up on my Instagram if you want.
You're like almost like unrecognizable, like in a good way, in like that costume in Matilda.
Yeah. And so that was a whole nother thing. It's like, okay, so I don't know how much I want to get into this right now, but I was in a dark, 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 dark place. I was trying church and church didn't work out for me, you know, but
yeah.
And that's a whole nother episode, you know, later. But, and so
this is my Matilda, right?
Okay. I was given, you know, the opportunity to play Trunchbull, which of course is a drag role. And this was at the moment where like drag was, people were pressed about drag, you know, so I was afraid because, you know, my community is small and, you know, I'm a teacher, I'm an educator. So being in drag, I was so afraid, you know, I hate that I was like, to be honest, I wasn't strong, right? I was worried. Okay. But anyway, that role came at the perfect time. For a lot of things, for me to stand up for drag, you know, whether I, you know, I was afraid at first, but also to
just in drag.
Okay, coming to a club near you. but also for a moment for me to feel wanted again, because as you know, a quiet gay kid and you know, in school and you know, having to have my armor up constantly, it was just such a saving grace for me. So theater, here we go again. saves lives. Come on.
Yes, it does.
It really does.
Period. It truly does.
Yes.
I see those pictures of you in Matilda and I'm like, you look so strong. Like not just like the outfit, but like your energy is just like exudes like strength and power. I mean, that absolutely came at the perfect time for you.
It's just odd because in, you know, out of theater, you know, I'm walking with my head down. I am having my chest sunk in. So theater for me is a way for me to feel powerful. And of course, you know, I'm learning to be powerful. But theater helps a lot with that. And another moment that I cherish was, oh, I'm getting emotional.
Oh my gosh. No, because I relate to this so much, because I think when you're in like such isolated, like small spaces, I mean, I relate to this, like trying to do the freaking social media thing. Like so many people, I just want to please everybody and I can't. And like, there's never, you can't be everything to everyone. So it's like always thinking about like what people are saying about me. Do people like me? Like all these things.
It's hard. And so doing that, you know, my kids got word. I wasn't going to tell my kids I was playing Trunchbull because, like I said, I was afraid. Like, I'm an educator. What if my principal finds out I'm wearing a wig?
Yes. Know? Oh, my God.
But my kids
it's got almost word. Like you literally, like, almost, I mean, I can imagine, like, my mind would probably spiral, like, my job is on the line, you know?
Truly. And Maddie, when I tell you that, it's the God's honest truth, you know, because, you know, I have bills. I got to pay those bills, you know, but my kids got wind that I was in it and they surprised me and they came and saw it. And, sorry, I'm getting a little emotional, but just them like coming up to me and hugging me and say, you know, Mr. Klein, you were amazing. And, it makes you wonder like why I worried about it in the first place, you know, like our minds can play tricks on us. And so after Matilda, they said, Mr. Klein, I want to be on the stage with you. So now my kids, you know, audition at the community theater and I've gotten to work with my kids on stage, you know, as, you know, Justin, you know, not Mr. Klein, not the educator, but as a human, as a person, you know, not my like teaching facade, you know. So that was a treasurable moment as well. So and all because theater, bold, underline, italics, right? Theater is just, gosh, I just don't know what I would do without it.
I know. And I mean, I don't know what your community would do without you. Seriously. Like, I can't believe, you know, your school didn't have like a robust like theater program before, like I can't imagine like where would those kids, you know, be otherwise? Who knows, you know?
And on the hard days where I like internally I just want to give up, I think that thought comes back to me. You know, it's like, because I needed, when I was a kid, I know I needed a theater class. And Miss King, my drama teacher back home, she, like, you could just walk in and feel her love. And I think that was, you know, when I became a teacher, that's what I wanted to do. And I just hate that I got the advice that I had to be mean, because I did those kids, you know, a disservice, you know. And I think about that a lot more than I probably should. But, you know, those kids, like, where, like you said, where would they go? And
Where would I be? Holy
right. And I get all
Seriously.
the kids. I get the football players. I get the cheerleaders. I get, you know, the emo kids. I get the, kids who are outcast. You know, just see them at the end of the year, just come together and put on a play. Like the football kid working with, you know, the emo kid. Like, I mean, it. I just
They
wish
like
people.
learn how to navigate in society.
Right.
Like they learn about community building in like this very intense hands-on way that they can't get in like a math class or maybe gym class or sports is like an incredible thing for kids to be a part of, but you know there are things you can get out of theater like the socialization element that maybe you can't get in other extracurricular activities.
Right. And that is why theater and the arts must and should stay in the schools. I'm gonna say that again. This is why theater and the arts must and should stay in the schools.
Period.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm pausing for a clap, 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 like sound bit
Yes,
there.
yes, yes, yes. Yes, exactly. It's so true. And your kids will like always remember it when they, you know, go to college, when they graduate college, they'll always remember those times as well. So, I wanted to ask you, I guess, outside of the classroom, outside of community theater, what music are you listening to? 'Cause I know you're always on the tunes.
Yes, well, of course, do I need to even say it out loud? Oh, Taylor Swift, girl. I mean, she is lethal with the pen. She is always playing. But of course, I love that pop music, you know, that vibe of pure like joy I love, but also like them hard hitting songs. I'm a big fan of right now of like Tate McRae. She's putting out some bankers. Nicki Minaj, of course. You know, she's
Yes.
my mood. But yeah, I pop, of course. I love a heartbreak song.
Yeah.
Little Mix, of course. Miss you. I miss you, Little Mix. Come back. You know me, girl. I love them girls. I love them girls.
It was such a great time, and when we went to college, it was such a great time in pop music. Just because Beyonce's self-titled album, Ariana Grande's Dangerous Woman,
Oh, she made me feel like a dangerous woman. Okay.
bangers. Okay,
That was on constant replay.
I mean, I remember like several times like saying like I'm a Southern Belle. Crazier than hell.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, so
I'm gonna
good.
do my thing.
Yes, I actually listened to bangers the other day.
It's bigger.
Yeah, I have to listen to like some like I don't know. I have to go back to the self-care once again.
Yes.
Self-care. I haven't been to the gym in over a year, and you know what? I'm getting
You do
back
it
on the
just
wagon. Getting back on the treadmill.
Yes.
Okay, you know what's funny? I like go in between like these like whenever I'm with you and all of my friends from Radford, my voice like changes to like when my voice was like how my voice was at Radford, like kind of southern. Because it's so easy with when I'm up here, it's just like kind of just default Chicago. But there's always that one part of me, like if like you listen to me on these podcasts where it's like I always like fall into just like a little bit of twang. And what's weird in the workplace in Chicago, I always want to say y'all because I grew up saying y'all. Like, it's just like, what am I going to say? You guys?
You guys.
I mean, which I do, but like there are some moments where I just want to say y'all because it's more appropriate for this conversation.
Right. And you know what's interesting, like how it's different around even the United States, even the East Coast, because my dad is from Pittsburgh and they say yens. Like,
my dad's from Pittsburgh as well.
Right. So like,
what town is your dad's dad from?
Like Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Oh, just like the actual city?
I guess. I don't really know. Butler, maybe?
Well, we'll figure this out. Hopefully. Yeah. Maybe we're related. We haven't known this whole time.
Oh, dear. yeah, it's just crazy. Like, when I was in Wisconsin with the kids, they would say, can I go to the bubbler? I'm like, the what?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I went to middle school and elementary school in Wisconsin. They have some weird words up there.
Bubbler, like,
yeah, that's weird.
Dialect.
Anyways, yes. Anyways, well, I know we both have to get up at 5 a.m. 4 a.m. tomorrow, so it's time to rest our pretty little heads. But oh my God, Justin, thank you so much for coming on. Oh, this is so lovely.
What did you say?
Yes. Oh my God. It's truly like the perfect time. Like, it's just the perfect timing. It's the holidays. You've got your Netflix fireplace on in the background. It's poor Christmas. Oh, yes. So good. But this was amazing. I'm so excited to edit this. This will be the best. Yes. Is there any, I mean, do you want the listeners to come find you? If you want to say that's fine.
Come find me as in like, come find me and like beat me up.
Like, on the internet, on Instagram,
I mean, my Instagram's private, but if you're cute, I'll let you in. I'm just kidding. Yeah,
there you go.
I don't even know my Instagram, girl. It's J Klein something. Someone that's laying on account, that's me.
If you're someone that's nice to teachers and you're a thespian and it's J Klein__.
That's the one.
And you have the cutest Instagram. You have so many good photos of SpongeBob and other shows and stuff. I'm just looking at it. It's so funny. Shout out to Instagram and shout out to Magic Mind, but most importantly, shout out to educators, theater educators.
Yes, theater educators. Just thank you, thank you, thank you. Words will never be able to express just how thankful we are. I mean, there are people out there who are negative, blah, blah, blah. Don't worry about them.
Mm-hmm.
We see you, we hear you, we love you, and we are so, so thankful for capital YOU exclamation point.
And that's amen and NC.